In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have witnessed these past few weeks and months a rather alarming trend in the church. That is, as our church hierarchy appears to be pushing the self-destruct button, destroying their own credibility, destroying the moral authority the bishops once had, it seems perhaps even papal infallibility. Most of you have probably already heard or read in this regard in the past few months, a very prominent cardinal in the Catholic Church has been exposed as a predator and abuser of young men and boys. Now, it makes this sad case more scandalous than many others in the past, which we have sadly become accustomed to, is that this priest's misconduct was an open secret in the church for decades. It was known by the bishops, by his superiors, by many other priests, even by seminarians. This priest was abusing others. Nothing was done about it, except that those who informed their superiors of his misconduct, those were the ones punished, while this priest was promoted. Made pastor, made bishop, made archbishop, made a cardinal. And all along, those in the hierarchy knew of his misconduct. Now, with a greater investigation into six other dioceses, they've got a dossier with the names of 300 priests also implicated in this kind of perverse behavior. It's not the only alarming news. In the midst of this scandal, some rather surprising announcements were heard from the Vatican. And this was that a change was going to be made to the Catechism of the Catholic Church regarding the death penalty. This would be by Pope Francis. The claim by our Holy Father is that the Catholic Church has come to realize that the death penalty is always and everywhere inadmissible. Under no circumstances may it be employed, as it violates the inherent dignity of the person. Pope Francis intends this to be taken as the teaching of the Catholic Church on this issue. This came as quite a surprise to many, because in every previous century, the consistent, clear, and unambiguous teaching of the Church on the death penalty has been that legitimate authority has the right to administer it, and in some cases it is even necessary for the preservation of justice. Pope Francis, it seems, is attempting to reverse church teaching. I say attempt because in actuality, if he does intend to change church teaching, he cannot. The Pope is not the inventor of truth, but the custodian of it. If something was true before, it is true now. But all this has sent a very confusing message to the faithful and to the world at large. So we certainly need to keep the Holy Father in our prayers, and these bishops as well. These are serious times. But it's not as if simply there are bad men in the hierarchy of the church. It's not as if this is just kind of a period, a phase we have to go through and everything will be better eventually, and that's all there is to it. God is telling us something. This is a message from God, a chastisement, this scandal in the church. And that's why we need to know what's going on. We need to pay attention to what is happening in the church, because God informs the faithful through what happens to the church at large. We'll see this in a few moments. If we don't know what's going on, how do we know what to pray for? But though we should be aware and even angered by these scandals, we should not become fixated on them to the point of losing our peace, becoming bitter. Remember, the gates of hell will not prevail. We have nothing to fear. Despite the failings and wickedness of our hierarchy, the church herself will never fall. And after all, our Lord did prophesy scandals would come. We shouldn't be surprised. Here they are. So what's going on? How do we get into this situation? What are we to make of all this? Maybe you've heard the term history repeats itself. And that's the case here. This has happened before in the history of the church, a long time before, 3,000 years ago. In the Catholic Church of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. That was God's chosen people, as the church is in the New Testament. So was Israel in the Old. God himself established the nation, gave them the Mosaic Law, the Levitical priesthood, the commandments, truths to abide by. This was God's church on earth. He gave them prophets to warn them of the truth if they begin to stray from the path. And the Israelites were constantly tempted to stray by the nations around them. Tempted to worship false gods, Baal, Moloch, Ashtaroth, gods of prosperity, gods of money, goddess of fertility. Idolatry was profitable, fashionable to the Israelites, a chance to raise their social status with their neighbors, the Canaanites, Philistines, yet with the times. Return, O rebellious Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not turn away my face from you. But yet acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. God sent the prophets to admonish the people, but to inform them also that he was merciful. He was not an angry God, a merciful God. He wanted to forgive. But before forgiveness must come repentance, an admission of guilt. And Israel refused, kept sinning. And so God kept sending prophets. They wouldn't listen. So we sent calamities, famine, plagues, the sword, natural disasters, droughts, to get their attention, to warn them. These commandments, these truths, was not something that was just an arbitrary whim of God. It was bad for them. Idolatry, murder, fornication, adultery. This will kill your soul. This is an objective fact. Israel eventually descended into the worst of idolatry, child sacrifice. Offering their children, their sons, and their daughters to the god Moloch, killing their own children for the sake of prosperity, for money, for fertility, for selfish desires. At this point, God had been sending them prophets, sending calamities, sending disasters. They would not change. What was left for God to do? Israel still sinned because they wanted to sin. They loved their sin, and they wanted to continue in it. We even read in the prophecy of Isaiah, the nation of Israel did not grow tired of their sin, but grew tired of hearing that they were sinning from the prophets, and said to them, "See not," said to the prophets, "prophesy not. Speak not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth words and lying prophecy. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, and cease to place before us the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 through 11. This is the voice of the people of Israel. And so God sent the worst chastisement of all, the worst plague. Exactly what they wanted. Lying prophets. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, because ye despised my word, and stay on the path of wickedness, therefore this iniquity shall be unto you. I will send forth a famine into the land, a famine not of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing thou shalt hear and understand not, seeing thou shalt see and know not. I will blind the heart of this people and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and I heal them. And Isaiah the prophet said, How long, O Lord? How long? And he said, Until their land shall be desolate, and the houses empty, and their cities be laid waste. Isaiah chapter 30, chapter 6, and Amos chapter 8. The worst punishment God can inflict upon his children is to give them what they want. You want to sin? Go ahead. Sit there and sin yourselves sick. Drink that cup of poison down to the dregs, and it will become loathsome unto you. And this is what the nation of Israel did. Right up to the time when the Assyrian armies came and plundered the holy city Jerusalem and brought the nation into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. God's chosen people today is the Catholic Church, the fulfillment of the Levitical priesthood, the Mosaic Law. And today, in the Catholic Church, these recent times, we are seeing fulfilled what was just spoken of in the Old Testament, the chastisement of God upon his people for their rebellion. Straying further and further from the truth, leaving aside the path of God, heedless of the words of his prophets, the saints, the magisterium, the fathers and doctors of the church, the words of Scripture itself, 2,000 years of Catholic tradition, we in the modern church have despised. This abuse scandal in the church is a warning to chastisement and a wake-up call. Similar to Our Lady's words at Fatima, if my words are not heeded, if men do not repent, entire nations will be destroyed. You can understand that physically as well as spiritually. And there's one sin. It was one sin for the Israelites, idolatry. They would not give up. And there's one sin the American Catholic Church will not give up, which is at the root of all of this. What is this sin we love so much that we are willing to endure homosexual predator bishops and a faithless clergy? This past month in July, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the rebellion of the Catholic clergy and laity against the magisterium of the Church. On July 25th, 1968, Paul VI issued Humanae Vitae, upholding the Church's consistent and universal teaching against artificial contraception. The Vicar of Christ spoke authoritatively, It is intrinsically evil. It can never be used for the purposes of preventing conception. This was not a change. This was not a reversal. This was 100% consistent with all church doctrine from the past. And it was attacked wholesale across the board by the laity and the clergy alike, especially in the United States. We, the Catholic Church in America, wanted to follow the idols of money, of pleasure, of sex without responsibility, of social comfort. We sacrificed our children to the gods of modern society and turned our backs on the Vicar of Christ. And God said, What more can I do? No one on earth speaks with greater authority than he who speaks in the name of my Son, and they have refused to hear his voice. And so God gave up his church to the lusts of their heart. and we today are drinking the cup of his wrath to the dregs. Do we find the sexual misconduct in the church loathsome? We should, because it's our very own sin. And so God has given us the fullness of it, what we wanted. Lying prophets, homosexual bishops, atheist priests, faithless cardinals, telling the people exactly what they want to hear. God would never send anyone to hell. We've moved beyond the concept of mortal sin. Go ahead and come up for Holy Communion no matter what. If your personal conscience contradicts a teaching of the church, follow your conscience and feel good about it. Are we surprised so many bishops have lied about their knowledge in the abuse scandal, about their behavior? We shouldn't be. They've been lying to us for 50 years, longer. Lying prophets. This is not every bishop, not every clergy member, as we know, but some. And in cases like this, one is too much. The punishment fits the crime. The way in which we have sinned is the way in which we are punished. You want artificial contraception? You want a sterile sexual union? You got it. Sterile sexual bishops. You want to contracept your children out of existence? You got it. And the bishops are contracepting souls out of the church. By their disgusting homosexuality, a guilty clergy has turned away millions of converts who should have been the children of Holy Mother Church. And this but mirrors the example of a contracepting laity. You know why a bishop wears a ring? Because he's married to the diocese. It's a marriage there. It's supposed to be fruitful. Artificial contraception is, to man and wife, what homosexual priests are to the church. Contraception blocks God from sending children into the world, and the result is bishops who block souls from entering the church. Our churches are empty, our convents and seminaries are empty, and contraception is why. Do we want to fix a problem? Stop contracepting. Stop abusing natural family planning as an alternative to contraception. It has its legitimate place in some cases, but not every case. Stop sacrificing your children to the gods of money, of pleasure, of ease, of comfort, of social standing, to the gods of environmentalism, of carbon footprint. Make your marriage fruitful and multiply children for the kingdom of God. Then we will get bishops faithful to the church who will be fruitful and multiply souls for the kingdom of God. The root problem in the church today is not homosexual bishops, but a contracepting laity. But let's not point any fingers. We're all to blame, all of us. Any sin of impurity is fueling this fire. Pornography, self-abuse, couples who put sexual pleasure above decency in the bedroom, couples refusing each other the marital debt, and more. Any sin of obedience, disobedience, any sin of selfishness, of greed, everyone's to blame. The answer is to take responsibility. It's our fault. It's my fault. We have sinned. We must beg God to send truthful prophets back into the world, back into the church, to speak to us his law, his commandments. We can look again to the past, to the prophet Daniel, who prayed just such a prayer while he was in Babylonian captivity. Daniel, a man righteous before God, blamed himself and prayed with sackcloth and ashes. We find this in chapter 9. I beseech thee, O Lord God, great and terrible, who shows mercy to them that love thee and keep thy commandments. We have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly, and we are gone aside from thy commandments and thy judgments. We have not hearkened to thy servants the prophets that have spoken in thy name. O Lord, to us is our confusion, to our rulers and our fathers who have sinned. All this evil is come upon us, O Lord, that we might turn from our iniquities and think upon thy truth. And now, O God, hear our prayers. Let thy wrath be turned away from thy holy city, for by our sins and those of our fathers we are a reproach to the world. Incline, O God, thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see our desolation. Not by our righteousness do we present our prayers before thee, but by the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hear, O Lord, and be appeased. Hearken and do not delay. For thine own sake, thy holy name is called upon thy city and upon thy people. May this be our prayer, that we might turn once again our hearts to God and be open to his truth. And he in turn will open heaven and send to us once again his prophets, priests, and bishops who will speak to us the truth. Not what we want to hear, what we need to hear. And many a priest and bishop may be surprised to find that what they think the people don't want to hear or aren't able to hear, deep down, have been begging to hear all along. God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Holy Ghost. Amen.